pray. Dear Jesus, we are so grateful for your mighty power. Lord, we're grateful that we can trust in a good King who ordains all things and is redemptive through it all, God. Lord, I pray for our church body this morning as we gather in homes all over San Pete County and beyond. God, I pray that you would cut us to the heart, Lord, with your word. The word of God, it is not powerful because of a stage or because of a sanctuary, Lord. It is your word, whether preached from a pulpit, seen in a live stream, read in the morning during our devotionals, whatever the case, God, your word is what changes hearts, Lord. So we pray, we beg you, Holy Spirit, to work through the text this morning. As Pastor Rodney preaches, God, would you change us? Would you mold us to look more like your Son, Jesus? We love you, God, but teach us to love you better. And in Jesus' holy name, all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Well, if you've got a Bible, and you should, you're at home, you can go get one now. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 26. As I was contemplating God's peace in the middle of uncertain times, a familiar verse came to mind, and it goes like this. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. This is a great verse. A great verse of encouragement and hope to cling to. Just last week, somebody gave me a little scrap of laminated paper with this verse written on it. You keep him in peace is the Hebrew. Perfect peace. Last week we looked at the peace of Christ. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. This is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Peace that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the peace that you are to have rule in your hearts and be thankful. God is our keeper, the keeper of peace. You will keep him in perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Now, in Colossians 3, we saw last week that this peace is for those who have believed in Jesus, who have been completely forgiven by Jesus, who have been raised with Christ to experience a new kind of life in Jesus. And we as believers are commanded to seek the things that are above, where Christ is. We are commanded to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. We are to steady the attention of our minds on Jesus, to set our affections on him. Our hearts, our thoughts are to be completely captured by him. So many things compete for our affections, compete for our attention, but we are to fix our attention on him. When we set our mind, our heart on Jesus, our minds are stayed on you. This is passive. This is God's word and God's character that have a steadying effect on our minds. God himself maintains us. He himself steadies us. Our minds are stayed because he trusts in you. Now here's the means of being kept, being steadied. We are to trust. Trust in God alone. Not trust in Him and, but trust Him, period. We're kept in peace because we trust in God. Not because of our act of trust, but because of the object in which our trust is placed. Because God is dependable. Because God is unchanging. Because God is our rock. Because God is our security. Not our health. That may fail. Not our savings. They may evaporate. Not our families. All of that can be stripped away. Not our jobs. There is no lasting security there. If our hope is in those things, if we are counting on, depending on, trusting in those things, they will fail us. They can all be gone in a moment. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are you treasuring this morning? Where's your hope? Where's your heart? What are you holding on to? Where is your security? You keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because He trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. The Lord God, He is the only absolute in an uncertain and shifting world. The Lord God, Hebrew Yahweh, is an everlasting rock. The rock of ages, Yahweh, the one who is the self-existent, the absolute, the independent, the I am. This is a powerful pointer to where we get real peace. This is a verse I was familiar with, and I wanted to chew on this verse over the last week, and I wanted to take some time and look at it in its context, so I looked it up. It's Isaiah 26, which is tucked away in chapters 24 through 27, which are sometimes referred to as Isaiah's little apocalypse. Isaiah 26 starts out this way. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in Yahweh forever, for Yahweh is an everlasting rock. This is a song, and it's sung by God's people because, verse 5, for He has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. Now, as I read this, I was surprised a bit by the context. God's people are singing their confidence in God's salvation as a result of God's humbling, God's trampling the proud, the lifted up of the world. You see, Isaiah warns of the downfall of Jerusalem because of their disobedience, their pride, their idolatry. God raised up the enemies of Israel to punish His people. But even in the midst of His discipline, there is hope. God disciplines His people for their good and ultimately will crush their enemies. Isaiah 24 through 27 puts this in an end times global perspective. These chapters give us a climactic vision of God ruling the nations in judgment and salvation. God will lay low everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Him. The lofty city is a picture of self-confidence, independence, pride. Look back at chapter 24, the beginning of this section. Behold the Lord. Behold the Lord will empty the earth and make it desolate, and He will twist its surface and scatter its inhabitants. Verse 3, the earth shall be utterly empty and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and withers, the world languishes and withers, the highest people of the earth languish. Notice it's the Lord who is Himself doing this. The Lord will empty the earth. The Lord has spoken His word. Why? Well, verse 5, the earth lies defiled under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are scorched, and few men are left. Verse 10, the wasted city is broken down, every house is shut up, so that none can enter. Why does the Lord execute judgment on the whole earth? Because of sin. Because of our rejection of God's commands. Because we refuse to listen to Him, to follow His ways. It's because of our guilt. The wages of our sin is death. Isaiah 24:19, the earth is utterly broken. The earth is split apart. The earth is violently shaken. The earth staggers like a drunken man. It sways like a hut. Its transgressions lie heavy upon it, and it falls and will not rise again. Isaiah chapter 24 ends with the Lord punishing both angelic and human rulers because of their guilt. And it says, the Lord of hosts reigns on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and His glory will be before His elders. This is a terrible scene. Listen to the response of God's people to His just and terrible punishment of the wicked. Isaiah 25 verse 1, O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name. For You have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For You have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. God's people respond to God's justice with worship. They sing God's praise because God's judgment on those who persist in evil and their pride and refuse to turn to Him, His justice on them is right and good and worthy of praise. You see, God is patient. God is slow to anger. God is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But God will by no means clear the guilty. God's justice is wonderful and worthy of His praise. God's people praise Him for His judgment. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with God's people. Look at Isaiah 25 verse 3. Therefore strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. Even God's enemies will give him glory because of his absolute justice. So that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will give glory to God. Some knees will never bow except under the mighty hand of God's justice. Isaiah 26 verse 9 says this, "For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. If favor is shown to the wicked, he does not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he deals corruptly and does not see the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be ashamed. Let the fire for your adversaries consume them." You see, God's people recognize the sanctifying effect of God's wrath. They even pray for it. You see, there is a good end to God's justice. Some may repent and turn to the Lord before it is too late. Listen to verses 8 and 9. "In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and your remembrance are the desire of our soul. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. Are you willing to wait for the Lord in the path of his judgments? If that is where God will meet you, is he of more value to you than your own comfort, than your own convenience? This is the true heart of a follower of Jesus. You, Lord, are the desire of our soul. My soul yearns for you. My spirit earnestly seeks you. I want above all for your name to be honored, your will to be done. Above my need for daily bread and personal safety is my desire for you, Lord, to get the honor, the worship that you deserve." Does your heart resonate with this yearning? Oh Lord, make it so. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Peace, Jesus' own peace, perfect peace to the one who is stabilized by the immovable anchor of the unchanging character of God Almighty. Trust in the Lord forever. He is worthy of your trust. He will never leave you. He will not fail you. No matter what happens, you are safe. Now, does this imply that nothing bad will ever happen to you? And that if bad things do happen, it's an indication of your own lack of faith? No, no, no. God's perfect peace is not exemption from storms, but peace in the middle of the storms. God's peace is not seen in circumstances. God's peace is deeper than that. Times of trial wean us away from the temporary pleasures to that which is lasting, that which is true. Jesus says something in John chapter 11 that at first sounds contradictory. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Now in one breath he says that believers will die and then live again. And in the very next breath he says that believers will never die. Which is it? Are we exempt from death or aren't we? Now it's clear from history that believers in Jesus experience death, many in unthinkable ways. But does this contradict what Jesus says in the very next breath, that believers will never die? Now clearly, he's talking about death and life in different ways. Whoever believes in Jesus, though he will experience death physically, yet his body will physically one day be raised again. And everyone who experiences the inward life or new birth that Jesus offers, whoever believes in Jesus will never experience spiritual death or separation from God. For the believer to be away from the body is to be present at home with the Lord. Eternal life, Jesus taught in John 17, is knowing God and Jesus Christ. He taught something similar in Mark 8. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now he clarifies that he's talking about two different kinds of life when he says something similar in John chapter 12. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Seeking to preserve physical life in this world at the cost of your relationship with God is folly. But risking this physical life for the hope of eternal life with God, that is true wisdom. See, the peace of Jesus is not exemption from trials or sufferings. Jesus actually promised we would experience those. Rather, the peace of Jesus preserves us through the trials. We will experience physical death, and yet we shall truly live. We see that our ultimate hope is rooted in the resurrection. Right here in the context of this verse in Isaiah chapter 26. Look down at verse 19. He says, your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the fury has passed by. For the one who trusts in the Lord, we have a sure and steadfast hope beyond the grave. Death is not the end. Christians believe in the resurrection. This life is not all there is to be held onto at all costs. No, if our hope is in Jesus, even death can't interrupt that. Though he slay me, Job says, yet I will hope in him. Listen to our hope in the imagery painted here in Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined, and he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Sometimes we must wait in the path of his judgment. Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. The God who swallows up death forever. The one who will wipe away our every tear. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Trust in Yahweh forever, for Yahweh is an everlasting rock. Trust him, for he is trustworthy. Let your mind be stayed on him. Let him keep you in his peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Your comfort, your encouragement, the clarity of your truth that prepares us for difficult times like these, that prepares us for suffering. Help us, Lord, to suffer well, to seize the day, to seek your glory above our own comfort. Lord, use these times, however long or short they may be, to get people's attention, to draw hearts to yourself, to turn, to repent of our sins, to recognize we have walked away from the only good, and we have turned and set our affections on cheap imitations, lies of the enemy. Forgive us. Enable us by your Spirit to set our hope on you and you alone. Help us to look to you and you alone for our salvation. It is from you and you alone our hope comes. A hope that is certain beyond the grave. Thank you for the strong confidence you give us in the gospel. The good news that Jesus Christ died to rescue sinners like me. Thank you for the forgiveness that you freely by grace offer. Lord, I pray for our community, that you would be at work in the lives and hearts of many. Lord, I pray that you would use us as your mouthpiece to speak truth and hope into a hungry and hurting world. We want you to be glorified. We ask it for the sake of the name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.